Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow, it's wonderful to be here this morning once again, and I thank the Lord for this opportunity. God is good, and He gives us a good gifts to His people, those who loves Him. And I praise God that this is a great gift for me to be with the saints of God and here in the Kingsfire Church that God brought me once again. And I'm thankful to the Lord. Also thanks to Pastor Josh and his family for allowing me to be here this morning. Also, thank you, Brother Tom Sigrity, for allowing me to be here this morning. Also, thank Brother and Sister Gil. They've been a blessing. They've been a really blessing since 2-3 days I've been with them, and they have got a really passion for the nations. And it's been a really encouraging just being around with them and traveling with them, going for the shopping and going for the yard sales and things like that. It's been a fun. It's been a really fun. And he has a great, especially Brother Gil, he has a great heart for the evangelism. Wherever you go with him, you'll win a soul for Christ. And I'm so excited to be with him, and I'm thankful to the Lord for such kind of a souls that they have a burning desire, It's not just the king's fire, but the fire is really burning within him to win the souls for king. So I'm thankful for his life, and thanks to his family that they are really taking care, good care of me. I was been sick since 2 days, was not able, feeling well, having a running nose and headache and a lot of things, jet lag, going over through the jet lag and everything. But thank God for their lives that they have been taking care of me and giving me medicine and cooking and feeding me well, and everything is good, and thank you. Well, it's good to be back here again. Last year I was with my brothers, and you received us well, and this year also you received us very well. Thank you so much for that. We work in India among the Indian people with gospel of Jesus Christ, where there is no gospel has been shared. I come from a state of Maharashtra where about 100 million people are there. 100 million plus people are there, Marathi speaking people. They most of them, they have never heard the name of Jesus. If you go to the places, rural places in the villages, you'll find that they have never heard the name of Jesus. They've been worshiping that 333 million gods, but not Jesus. They haven't heard about Jesus. When we go out and speak about Jesus to them, they get confused and they ask us. One day I was in the village and I was talking to this older man and I was telling him about Jesus Christ. In Marathi language, in my mother tongue, we call him Yeshu Christ. Yeshu Christ, this is how we call Jesus Christ. And when I went to him and I was talking to him and I was telling him, have you ever heard about Yeshu Christ? And he said, who's Yeshu Krishna? They only think about their gods. They know about their God. And they said, I never heard. I never heard about Yeshu Christ. Yeshu Krishna, that's what he was saying. And I was able to tell him about Jesus Christ, and tears just running from my eyes. And I was like, my heart was getting so heavy that so many people doesn't know anything about Jesus. Where are they going to go? If somebody's not going to tell them about Jesus Christ, where are they going to go? They are on their way to hell. They're my brothers and sisters. They're from my country. They're from my own state, my own nation, and they don't know anything about Jesus. And that's what a burning desire in my heart, to go and reach out to those people, share them about Jesus Christ, tell them about the name of Jesus, which will break the curse upon their life. And that is what we need to do. Not just me, but each and every one of us who have heard the name of Jesus, who have Jesus Christ in their life, they need to go out and preach the gospel. It's not just having telling that you're from King's Fire Church. We need to have that burning fire within us to tell them about the King of Kings, who can save them, who can bring them out of that hellfire. He's powerful. And when we give the name of Jesus to somebody, definitely God changes their heart and they will become a follower of Christ. That is what we want to do with the people in India. That is what we are doing. That is what we are trying to do. Sometimes people get upset and sometimes people get discouraged when they share the gospel with somebody and they say, oh, I've been trying to share the gospel with this man and this woman and this people, and nobody is listening to me. Nobody is responding to me. This is not our job. Our job is to go and tell the gospel to them. God is going to work among in their heart. God is going to do something in their heart. This is not our job. Our job is to go and tell the gospel. That is what we are called to do, and we need to do that. Not just in India, but here in your country, in your own community. Wherever you go out, you need to preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus Christ, because people are hungry for the love. It's all about the heart. That's what we've been talking since whole week, last time, since 3 days that I've been here. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. God sees our heart. He wants our heart. He wants the people to accept Christ. You know, when we have a pure heart, God definitely uses us. He's looking towards our heart. What kind of heart we are carrying? Are we having a passion for the people? Because many times we just, you know, in our own world, we are doing our own jobs, in our own thinking, and we're doing all our own stuff and all our own things. But we need to understand the heart of God. What is His heart? He was always having a compassion over the people. Whenever He see the crowds, whenever He see the people, He had a compassion over them. And He just didn't speak to them or just preach to them, but He had a compassion and He always wanted to do something for them. When He saw the people, 5,000 people were hungry, He had a compassion over them. And He said, let's feed them. You know, when we have a compassionate heart, when we have a desire to do something for the Lord, the miracles happen. Hallelujah. And this is how the miracle happened when He fed the 5,000 people. How this miracle had happened? Because He had the compassion in His heart. That is the heart of God. When we have a similar kind of a heart desire to do something, in a similar kind of a heart and desire that God has, then the miracle starts happening. Hallelujah. If you want to feel, if you want to have a miracle in your life, if you want to experience a miracle in your life, you need to have the compassion over the people. It is not just all about us. We need to think, what is the heart of God? He had the compassion over people. Do we have the same kind of a compassion? We are just expecting miracles to happen in our life. Miracles doesn't happen like this. We need to go step by step to receive a miracle. You know, the first miracle that happened in the Bible, let's turn over to Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 till 9 or 11. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. I request Pastor Don to read for these verses for me. Gospel of John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. The first miracle that we hear in the Bible, recorded in the Bible, by Jesus Christ.
Okay. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, speaks of the water turned to wine. And it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests are well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This was the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Amen. Praise God. We read about this many times. We know this a miracle happened in the Bible, and we read about this many times. We have heard the gospel of John, this message many times, and everybody probably knows about this miracle. But I want to tell you this morning how this miracle had happened. There is always a steps. When the miracle happens, there is always a steps there. You know, some of the quotes that I've got here, if we can have the PowerPoint going, then it would be really helpful. Every miracle in the Bible first started in a problem. This miracle also started with a problem. They ran out of wine there. You know, everybody was invited into that wedding and that ceremony there, and they ran out of wine. The problem started there. Next slide, please. Open your heart and invite God into every circumstance. Because when God enters the scene, miracle happens. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of the good thing about this wedding is they had invited Jesus for this wedding, for this ceremony. They had disciples been invited for this wedding. When we are expecting miracle to happen in our life, this is the first step we need to do. Is to invite Jesus into this circumstance. Whatever the circumstance you are facing in your life, we need to invite Jesus first into our circumstance in that situation. Many people try to solve the problem with their own hands. Whenever we have the problems, we don't go to Jesus first. You know, think about this. This is a little thing. But if we want to have happen, we want a miracle to happen in our life, we need to think of these things. We need to invite Jesus into that situation. Once Jesus comes in, praise God. He will change the situation. He will change everything. He will bring the miracle with him. Hallelujah. We need to invite him first. The good thing about this wedding, this marriage, they had given invitation to Jesus and his disciples. That's the good thing. That is the best thing they have ever done in their life, that they have invited Jesus. What do we do when we face the situations, when we have problems in our life, when we have sickness in our life? We try and run to the doctor. We try and run to our relatives. We try and run towards wherever we can get the help. We don't invite Jesus into that situation. We think, okay, Jesus is only here when we give praises to the Lord. When we come to the church, only that time Jesus is there. But he wants to come in every situation of your life. Hallelujah. Because in every moment we need to have a miracle in our life. We want to have a miracle in our life every moment, every single moment. As we are driving through, as we are working in our offices, wherever we are working, we need to have Jesus in our life. We need to have Jesus with us because we need miracles every moment. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to invite Jesus into our life. And this is the best thing they have ever done. That they give an invitation to Jesus. This is the first step of miracle. If miracle has to happen in our life, this is the first step. We need to invite Jesus into our life. Second thing, what they did is, the verse 3, if we read verse 3, it says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine." And verse 4 says, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what I have to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet came." Here we see the harsh word he is telling to his mother. Sometimes we think in the human perspectives, and we think, okay, how come Jesus says some kind of a harsh word to his mother? But what he was trying to tell here, that he's not telling her from the human point of view. He's trying to tell us that we need to be separated from the world. Hallelujah. We need to get separated from the world if we want to have a miracle in our life. If we want to receive a miracle in our life, we need to get separated from the world. But what happens in our life? We run into the world. If you want to see the miracle, if you want to get solved the problems, we run into the world. But here Jesus is trying to tell us that we need to get separated from the world. We need to come separate, because here he says with his mother, nothing to do with me. My hour has not come yet. I'm not nothing to do with this humanity or nothing to do with you. He's trying to tell that I am separated here. If I want to perform a miracle, if I want to receive something from God, I need to come separate from the world. I need to get one-on-one with Him to receive a miracle in my life. That is what Jesus is trying to tell us here by this word. Many times we think with the human perspective, why is He saying such kind of a harsh word to His mother? Why is He trying to tell something like this? But He's trying to tell us that we need to come separate from the world if we want to receive the miracle from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you are running into the world for the miracle, you will not experience the miracle in your life. Amen. Everybody needs a miracle. You know, we are sitting here expecting God to do something in our life. But if you are running into the world, running after somebody to receive the miracle, that is not going to happen. Don't run after the men. Don't run after the things. They are not going to give the miracle in your life. But if you go towards the Jesus and get separated yourself from the world, you will definitely receive a miracle in your life. Hallelujah. That is what God expects from you. That is what God wants you to do, to get separated from the world. Don't go into the world. Don't go into the worldly things. Yes, God has called you out of the world and be separated if you want to receive miracle in your life. The first thing, step is to invite Jesus into your situation. Second thing is, get separated from the world to receive miracle in your life. In verse 5, we say very important thing here. The mother of Jesus said to these servants, verse 5, His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Hallelujah. That's the biggest key in this verse, in this miracle. If you want to receive the miracle, do whatever He says you to do. Hallelujah. And that's what my sermon says. Just do it. You know, when I see these tennis shoes of Nike, that's what it is written. I think He got it from there. Just do it. Have you seen that? Just do it. Many times we don't do it. You know, that's why we don't see the miracle. You know, the servants, when they received this word from the mother of Jesus, said, she said, whatever He said you, says you to do, do it. Just do it. Don't think about anything else. Don't question Him. Don't give, you know, your opinion to Him. Many times we start giving our opinions to Jesus, and that's why we don't see the miracles. If we want to experience the miracle, just do it, whatever He tells you to do. Amen. What He did, what He says to these servants here, Jesus, in verse 7, He said, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Hallelujah. There were 6 water pots were there. And Jesus told them to fill this water pot with water. Many of us, we don't do this. Many of us, we start questioning to the Lord. Lord, but people are waiting for the wine. You know, did you heard correctly? Jesus, have you heard correctly? These people are waiting for the wine. What are you trying to tell us, to fill this jar with the water? No. Hear it correctly. They are waiting for the wine. They didn't question Jesus. They didn't say any single word. If you read this 100 times, you won't find any question that they raised. They didn't say any word. They just obeyed the Lord. Hallelujah. They just obeyed the Lord. And that is what God looking towards us. That we must obey the Lord. Maybe the situation is against us. Maybe people are expecting some different things from us. But we need to obey the Lord, what He is trying to tell us. People are waiting for the wine. People are expecting wine in that marriage, in that wedding. But what God told them, what Jesus told them, is to fill this jar with the water. And they did exactly the same thing. Here we read in the verse 7. And they filled them up to the brim. Hallelujah. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They didn't question, they didn't answer, they didn't raise any issues there. Or they didn't say, okay, how this is going to happen, Lord, or what going to happen? Is this is going to be wine, or are you going to make the wine? And they didn't ask any question. If God tells us to do something, we must be willing to do it. We must be willing to obey Him. You know, many of us, we struggle with this thing. Because we want to raise our own questions. Oh Lord, but I don't have this and I don't have this. Last time when I was here, I was preaching about this 38-year man who was just laying beside the pool. You know, he needed that kind of a kick. Somebody to kick him and send him to that pool. Jesus came and got angry with him and said, get up, take up thy bed and walk. That's what we need in our life. Sometimes don't let God or Jesus get angry in our life. If you're just so lazy and questioning from your bed and saying, oh no, Lord, this is too much. Going to Jamaica 4 or 5 hours and what kind of a situation is there? It's too much, Lord, I can't go. Going to India 14 hours flight, Lord? No, this is not for me. Maybe for Pastor Josh or Pastor Chris or Brother Gil or Brother Dan or Xavier is already there. Let him do it. I'm just fine here. I don't want to go, Lord. It's too long. We start raising the question. If God tells you to go and preach the gospel to India, we start raising the questions to him. You say, oh, Lord, but I don't have money. You know, I don't have enough money to go. And if the money comes in, oh, Lord, this is too long. I can't do it. You know, this is too much. I can't get a leave from my job for this many, 2 weeks. I can't get a leave. I can't leave my family. This and that. And we start giving the excuses to the Lord. But when we do it, that's what God is looking for. Obedience heart. Hallelujah. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking towards those people who raise the questions. So many people have the big question mark on their forehead and they're walking like this. Wherever they go, they have a big question. What will happen now? What is next? What is next, God? Will this happen? If I pray over this person, will he get healed? You know, God tells you to go and pray over this man. Go and pray. He will do the miracle. Once you obey the Lord, miracles will start happening. Hallelujah. That is one of the steps in our life to receive a miracle. They didn't question anything, but they obeyed the Lord. And we see in the verse 8, and he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Now here, they filled this jar with their own hand. When Jesus told them to do it, they did it. But what is Jesus telling them now? To take the water out of that and take it to the cook or the chef who was cooking there. This is out of our mind. You know, if Jesus, I would have been there in that situation, I would have said, bye-bye, Jesus. This is enough for me. I filled the jar and now you're telling me to draw out water out of those jars and thank you. And give it to these people. I would say, bye-bye, Jesus. I need to go because I can't do this. This is out of my mind. I can't do this because people are waiting for the wine. And I've just filled this jar with my own hand with water. And now you're telling me to draw water out of it, start serving, give to these people. I'm not going to do this. I'm out of it. I'm running from here. I would have run from there. And that's what we do many times when Jesus tells us to do and the situation is not allowing us to do. We say, bye-bye, Jesus. This is enough for me. I would only go this far. We go near to the miracle and we come back from there. The miracle doesn't happen in our life. But listen to these people, what they have done. Listen to this, see this servant, what they have done. Whatever Jesus told them. Maybe that was not, they didn't like this. They didn't understand this, but they didn't raise any question. Not a single question they raised. They said, yes, Lord, we will do it. Yes, Lord, we will do it. And they did exactly the same. And that's why the miracle had happened. Hallelujah. Miracle doesn't happen like this, brothers and sisters. We need to go step by step. We need to invite Jesus in our situation. We need to obey the Lord. We need to do it what he says us to do. You know, many times we raise questions, but God doesn't want those people, those who are raising the questions, those who are giving the excuses. God wants people who will obey his word. Hallelujah. Who will obey him and go forth. And then they will see the great miracles happening in their life. That is what's happening in my life. Whatever God says to do, I'm doing it and I'm seeing the great miracles happening. You know, if I'm raising the question and saying, Lord, how is this going to be possible in my life? I don't have money. I don't have a vehicle to go into this place. I don't have means to go in this other village or in other city. How am I going to do it? If I'm raising the question, I know I'm not going to expect anything from God. But when I take a step of faith, hallelujah, it's all about the heart, brothers and sisters. If you want to receive miracles, it's all about the heart, obedience heart. That is what God is looking towards me and you. That we need to have an obedient heart to receive miracle in our life. Miracles happens today also. Many people think, okay, the miracles was only in Jesus' time. Or the little miracles, you know, here and there can happen today also, but not the big miracles. Big miracles are waiting for you and me. The greatest miracles are waiting for me and you. But we need to be obedient. We go near to the miracles and we turn back from there because the situation that we are in, we think, okay, this is not possible for me. This is not going to happen for me. But when we step into the faith, hallelujah, we step by faith into this situation, miracles does happen, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning to experience that great miracle in your life. God is going to do greater things through your life. But do whatever He tells you to do. Don't step back. Many times we step back and that's why we don't see miracles happening. That's why we don't think that. That's why we don't see the situation is changing in our life. That's why we see the sickness is not going from our body. That's why we see the problems are not leaving our families. Why is that happening? Because we are not stepping by faith. We are not obeying what God has told us. We need to obey the Lord. We need to obey the Lord. This morning, I would like to encourage you, brothers and sisters. Obey the Lord. Whatever the situation God is telling you to, face, or you're facing in your life, or whatever God is telling you to do in this situation, do it. Don't look towards the people. Don't look towards the situation. Many times we look towards the situation, and that's where we get into the trouble. Don't question the things what God has told us to do. Just look towards the Nike and say, just do it. Just look towards your Nike shoes or shirt and say, I will do it, Lord. I will do it. Yes, Lord, I will do it. And that's what God expects from you. When I go out in the villages, it's not me. It's not my brothers or it's not my family. But it's God who's going to do the miracle. It's nothing in my hand that when I go and pray for the people, people get healed. Nothing in my hand, but when I pray over the people, I know I'm obeying the Lord and God is going to perform His miracle. In India, as I said, 333 million gods they serve, they worship. How are you going to tell them about Jesus Christ? What difference is going to make Jesus into their life? When you go out and pray for them. When you go out and sit down with them. When you go and tell them about Jesus Christ. When you show the love of Christ through your deeds. Many times people go and say, okay, I will pray for you, brother. I'll pray for your ministry. Praise God. You go ahead and we'll pray for you. Word of God says in John, 1 John 3:18, not just by words, but by we are doing, show the love of Christ. That is what God is looking towards, me and you. That we must show the love of God through our deeds. What we are doing for Him. You know, the miracle happened because this servant had to take a step of faith. When mother of Jesus said, you know, do whatever He says you to do. And they took a step of faith. They started pouring water into those jars. And then when Jesus told them to pour the water out of that and start serving, they did exactly the same. They didn't question anything. They didn't raise any single question. And that's why the miracle happened. The first miracle recorded in the Bible through Jesus Christ had happened because obedience heart. Hallelujah. Because they did it. They did it. Whatever God told them to do it. Brothers and sisters, this morning God is telling you to do something. I don't know what that is. Maybe He's telling you to take that one step of faith to go out and preach the gospel. Maybe He's telling you to support missionary. Maybe He's telling you to stand with your pastor. Maybe He's telling you to go out in the mall and share the gospel with somebody. Whatever He is telling you, maybe that is beyond our imagination. But do it. Do it. If God is telling you, do that and you will see the great miracles happening in your life. If you are waiting for some kind of miracle to happen in your life, God is waiting for you to take that one step of faith. God is waiting for you to take. I said this last time and I would like to say it again. When you take that one step of faith towards God, He will take 9 steps towards you to bless you. Hallelujah. He's going to bless you. If you are waiting for your blessing, take that one step of faith. Hallelujah. Obey Him. Do whatever He says you to do it. And then you'll see the great miracles happening in your life. India. Next slide, please. A big country. 100 million people in my own state of Maharashtra. Next. Keep going, brother. I would like to just explain to this because we don't have much time. This is my state of Maharashtra. 100 million people are there waiting for somebody to come and share the gospel with them. Our vision is to reach 40,000 villages with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How we are doing it? It is impossible task. You know, if you think about 40,000 villages, somebody will say, oh, no, that's not my job. 40,000 villages, I cannot reach these villages. Oh, so many people, 100 million people, I cannot even preach to the 5 people. No, I can't do it. If we would have said that, my dad would have said that, we would have never reached 15,000 people with the gospel, 15,000 villages with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were able to reach 15,000 villages with the gospel of Jesus Christ because we said yes to the Lord. Hallelujah. There are 25,000 more to go. And nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I would like you to pray for this state of Maharashtra. People are dying there. When Brother X will come back from India, ask him. They were 10 days worshipping this idol, elephant god. They were dancing before him. They put him into the water just 2 days back. They were worshipping these idols, you know, and they were not receiving a single blessing. They were asking a curse upon their life. They blindly worship this thing. Somebody need to go and tell them about Jesus Christ. If God is encouraging you, brothers and sisters, this morning, you're most welcome to come to India. We'll go together, preach the gospel to these lost people. Many of your people have been to my place. They have seen the hunger in their lives. They have seen the people who are thirsty to receive the Holy Ghost. They have seen the thirst and hunger to receive the gospel in their life. Many of your King's Fire people have been to India. They still keep coming to India. But I want you to be encouraged today. If God is knocking on your heart and telling you to go into the missionary field, please obey Him. He's going to provide you. Don't think about the things that, okay, how I'm going to support myself or this and that. But God is going to do for you. God is going to do for you. And that is what we're doing in state of Maharashtra. Continue, brother. This is my family. I've shown you last time also. This is my dad, mom and dad, my two brothers and their wives, and myself in the middle with my wife. We are serving in state of Maharashtra, reaching out to the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My parents were Hindu, but somebody came and shared them a gospel, and they were able to hear the name of Jesus. And that's where my heart goes for. You know, one person obeyed the Lord. One person obeyed the Lord, came to my village, and they were able to share the gospel with my parents. And that's where we were able to hear about Jesus Christ. We were able to know about Jesus Christ, and they accepted Christ. More than 15,000 people have been baptized by my dad. They accepted Christ and personally following the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody obeyed and somebody gave a tract into my grandparents' hand, into my parents' hand. That's where they were able to hear the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there might be somebody just waiting for you to go and give that track into their hand. Somebody just waiting for you to go and pray over them, tell them about Jesus Christ. So just obey the Lord. Don't hold back. Don't step back. Don't give excuses. Go forth and do it whatever He tells you to do, and you will see the great things happening. This is what is happening in the state of Maharashtra. Keep going, brother. These are the pastors who are working in the state of Maharashtra with me, with our organization. What we want you to pray for their family, pray for the protection over their families as they go out in the villages. They are full-time workers with us, reaching out to the villages of Maharashtra. One pastor is supposed to take care of 10 villages. And what I request you to pray for their sponsorship. They work full time in the ministry. What they expect for what they need is one pastor's family need $100 per month. If 10 people says, I'll donate $10 a month, that becomes a one pastor's support right there. If 10 people says, okay, here is the $10 a month I can give, you know, collect it in your church, collect with pastor and tell us, we will definitely, your church can be a great supporter for one of these pastors and their family. Because they are doing it, the work of the Lord. They are doing what God has told them to do. They are reaching out to these villages and establishing the work in state of Maharashtra. So kindly pray for these pastors. There are about 20 pastors working with us. And they are going out in the villages of Maharashtra, reaching out to the people. Next slide, please. Team and Gentry. They're from your church. They came to us. You know, miraculously God connected me through them. You know, King's Fire is a divine connection for me. I don't know I told you this last time or not, but this is a divine connection for me. I wrote on the internet, somehow I saw the Overland Mission work, and I wrote to them. They were working in Africa, and when I saw their webpage, they were doing a lot of things in Africa. And the question I asked them, why not India? A big question I asked them, why not India? You're doing a lot of work in Africa. Why not India? And I think they forwarded it to Pastor Vaughn. And Pastor Vaughn forwarded this mail to Team and Gentry when they were in India. They were South India. They were about 500, 600 miles from me. And when they forwarded this email to him, after one Sunday service, I received a call from Tim, and he was talking to me and saying, hey, who are you? I received an email from you. Are you interested, GMR, to come over to you? And I said, yeah, you're most welcome to come. And one first time, Tim and Gentry with their little Moriah came to us. Moriah was so little that she was only, probably 3 months or less than that or little more. She started, you know, when they came to our house, God just connected our spirit together. And then this is how the King's Fire connection started with us. And after that, Pastor Vaughn came and their family members came, and we were so blessed by their ministry. This is how the divine connection was made. This is how the church come together, your church and my church, my ministry in India. This is how we came together with the purpose. God definitely has some purpose that he has brought me. This is my second time here. And I believe that this is not without a purpose. God has a great purpose through this. But we need to obey the Lord. That's what God is looking this morning. People who will say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to obey. And brother Tim and sister Gentry has been there. They've been praying over the people. This is the Hindu locality, leprosy colony. They're going into this locality, praying for the people. And God is touching the people. Miracles are happening. Keep going, brother. Pastor Vaughn, great man of God. I really miss him very badly. When I heard the news that he is gone to be with the Lord, I know he's in heaven. And he's looking from there today and rejoicing the fellowship that we had together. I really appreciate him. He traveled so far, so many hours just to come to me, to have a fellowship with us, to encourage from the word of God. He was a great man of God. He left a great impact in our church. He left a great impact in my own life, in my wife's life. When my wife lost her father, Pastor Warren came to her and said, I'm your father from today. Don't worry, if you need anything, just ask me and I'll be with you. I remember the great gift he gave me when he left, first time when he was there, when he came to us. When he was there, a blanket that he gave as a family, a gift. We still use that. And my wife was crying like anything when she heard the news. But Pastor Juan is no more. He's gone to be with the Lord. He left a great impact as a family member, as a minister of God. He left a great impact in our life. And we thank God for the lives that your church were able to stand with them, to send them over there to be a blessing to India, to be a blessing in our church. Keep going. I've got so many photos to show here. Your church people, Pastor Juan, being a blessing. This is my church. They've been worshiping the Lord. Keep going, brother. Next slide. Brother Xavier, been a blessing. Keep going. Sister Sarah, both of them, they were a great blessing when they came over. They visited so many places. Pastor Tony, awesome man of God. His health was not well, but still he came and was a great blessing. Prayed for many people, sharing the gospel. And it was a great encouragement for us. Brother Tom, silent man over there too. But a great impact he left on the people's life. Wonderful man of God. Thanks to King's Fire Church. Brother Danny, Gerald, wonderful man of God. When he was preaching to this congregation, he was powerful presence of God. powerful presence of God. Your lives have left a great impact in our life there in India. Next, keep going, brothers. Children's home, children. Pray for these children as we take care of the children. 22 children are staying with us. Keep going. You can help with their schools, uniforms, with their notebooks, pens, whatever way you can. You can stand with us and help these little children. Because they come from very poor families. They're not able to go to the school. But while they are with us, they're studying with us. We're teaching them the word of God. We're sharing them the love of God. We're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. They're expecting Christ. And this is how the work is going on. Work among the leprosy colony. People from this church have been blessing to them, distributing the sandals to them, reaching out to these people according to 1 John 3:18. Not just by words, but by your deeds, show the love of Christ to them. They are hungry. They are poor. If you go and tell them about Jesus Christ, they are not going to listen to you. But when you go with some kind of a help, feeding them, they're going to see the love of Christ. That is what I want you to stand with us in this ministry, to help this ministry, provide something for these poor people. Having a crusades, you people can come and hold the crusades. So many people are hungry to receive the gospel. So many people are waiting to receive Jesus in their life, but they want somebody to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. They are willing to receive Christ. They are willing to receive Christ. They are hungry. They are thirsty. They are waiting somebody to come and touch them. Somebody to come and pray over them. Somebody to help them in their situation. Help building the churches. Your church, King's Fire Church, has helped through GMR, Dr. Leon and Sister D.A. Through them, they were able to build a church in India. This was the church building that your church started helping us to build this church. And we were able to complete this building. Keep going. This is the construction work was going on 1 year ago. This is the church building that your church helped us to build. We were able to dedicate this building when GMR CEO, Sister D.A., Dorothy Ann, came to India, and she was able to dedicate this building to the work of the Lord. This many people worship there every Sunday. They were worshiping literally on street. But because your church helped, we were able to build this church. And we were able to have so many. Just recently, we were able to celebrate the first anniversary in this church. Through your church, King's Fire, we were able to do this. 1 year completed, where people are coming together and worshiping the Lord. Great thing. They sit on the floor. They don't need a fancy chair or anything. But they come and sit on the chair, sit on the floor and worship the Lord. Keep going. Baptisms are taking place in this church. Many people are giving their life. Just because of your help, we were able to build that church. What does it take? $6,000 to build a church. That's not a big amount compared to here. $6,000 to build a village church. If somebody would like to help towards that, please do. We have 5 places where people have given the land where we can build a church. You know, the lives can be changed. People get baptized. People come into the church. Many people are not allowed to go into the Hindu temples. But when the churches are built, we allow, we hold their hands and we bring them in and we worship the Lord together. Like this, Brother Tim was there. We were worshiping on the street. This is literally taken photo, and this meeting was held on the street, on the road itself. If anything happens, we won't be able to have the meeting on the road. So there are places like this where we need to build the churches. $6,000. If some people come together and contribute towards this, we would be really happy and blessed by this, because this church, this place needs a church where people can come together and worship the Lord. Continue, please, brother. Please pray for drinking water and drought situation in Maharashtra, India, in my place. We're facing a lot of drought situation right now. No drinking water for the people. Keep going. People are just asking. As a church, we were able to help them with some of the water tanker. 600 feet down, if you go, no water is found. In the first time of Indian history, in my place, if you go online and search on the internet, you'll find my place is called Latur. First time in Indian history, they had to provide the water by train from different city. That kind of a bad situation, water drought situation there in my place. People are thirsty. What we can do? As I said, 1 John 3:18, according to that, not just by words, but by deeds, we can help. Help digging the well in this place. It takes $2,000 to dig a well and put the tube well there. You know, pump there where people can draw water. Pray for us. These are the needs. These are the needs. And you have been a great blessing for our ministry. King's Fire Church has been a blessing. But there are some people who still need to obey the Lord. I would like to give big thanks. The next slide says, I was wearing this t-shirt in India. Next slide. Please. Yes, King's Fire Church. Thank you for that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for standing with us. But I want you to take that one step of faith. Obey the Lord whatever God tells you to do. And you will see great miracles happening in your life. I would like to thank once again for this wonderful opportunity. Continue to pray for the state of Maharashtra. Continue to pray for those people who need to receive Christ in their life. Continue to pray for the needs. Because one day when we go to heaven, and when we see those people who have been helped through this church, you'll be glad to see them there. Because of my giving, he's in heaven. Because of my generous heart, these people are here. And they're receiving Christ and they're in heaven. Thank you so much for your love.